In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have just heard that part of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he responded to those who had slandered him as an apostle, because they said that Paul had not heard Christ personally, directly, as the other apostles, Peter and the rest, had done. That he only knew the gospel of Christ secondhand. And their way of thinking was that the gospel of Christ is information, teachings, perhaps even secret teaching, that had been given to the 12, but not to Paul, because he was not one of the 12. But the gospel is not information. It's not information that other people don't have that we need to tell them about. The gospel is the reality of Jesus Christ himself. He is the Word. He is the revelation of God. He is the revelation of our life at one with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world, destroyed the power of death to separate us from God, and made it possible for us to be one with the Father by and through his Son, Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who is God and also at the same time one of us, and so is the door into our communion with God. Jesus Christ is the gospel, not information about him, but Christ himself is the incarnation. God, because of Jesus Christ, can be known as we know any human person, if and when that person reveals themselves, rewarding our genuine love and our true desire. Love and the desire to love another person, to know another person, can never be selfish. There are false kinds of love that are selfish and try to use others, but they are not the way God loves us. They are not the truth of true love. In true love, we love the other person for themselves. And when we love God, when we love Jesus the Christ, we are loving the one who is other than ourselves and is holy God for himself. Salvation is not a matter of information, public or secret, that we can give to another person. The revelation of God is our communion with him through Christ. Jesus Christ is God's self-revelation, and St. Paul knew Jesus Christ. He had known Jesus Christ because Christ God revealed himself to St. Paul, and St. Paul had always loved God, but not in the way that God now revealed it was possible to love him. St. Paul had loved God as a faithful Jew. But it was God that he loved, not the law for its own sake. And Christ revealed himself to St. Paul. Paul fell down before him, and he knew God through the incarnate person, Jesus the Christ. And knowing him, he knew the gospel. Because that gospel is the self-revelation of God that is Jesus Christ, and the fact that we as human beings, created in the image and likeness of God, can know him and love him when we see him, can know him and love him if it is God that we love rather than ourselves, because no true love is selfish. Father Edward Roman affirms strongly that the gospel is not information. The gospel is a knowable divine person. Teaching the gospel as information does not rise to the personal level of Orthodox faith, the true and original faith in Christ himself. What the Galatian slanderers understood as the gospel was information about God, which Paul might have heard by hearing the preaching of other men. But as Father Edward says, the gospel is not information. The gospel is Jesus Christ himself. He is the Word of God. And Father Edward's message here is centrally this. Even with all of the riches of Orthodox doctrine and teaching, and they are many, Orthodox doctrine and teaching go back to the beginning of the church in the world. They have been consistently taught down through the centuries, while other places the revelation of Christ has been made into teachings about God, claims of salvation that have to do with a kind of legal relationship to God, claims even that we cannot know God in this world, that there cannot be cooperation or synergy between ourselves and God that is salvation. Other definitions of salvation have come up to say that we are saved because Christ died in our place and we can accept that our sins have been cleansed by him, and that is salvation. But the truth has been from the beginning that salvation is the new life that we can live in Christ from day to day because we know and love God and we see God revealed in him and we see God revealed in the humanity of Christ that is meant to be our humanity and that we can share that humanity by way of our humility and our love of God rather than ourselves, just as we can love another human being. But in this case, our love of God lifts us up and enables us to be one with him through Christ. Presenting gospel as information has not been effective in our time, in this late modern social context. That's what Father Edward says. It's not good enough to give others information. You know, the Orthodox tradition is not to proselytize. Proselytizing, giving information. Do you know the truth? These are the truths where I will tell you, you accept them and you are saved. Orthodox don't proselytize because you can't transfer the love of God from one person to another unless the first person speaking loves God and the other person wants to know God, wants to love God. And in all of the words that the first person, the person who is giving the witness of himself, his way of life, to another person who wants to find Christ, it has to already be there in that person. And whatever we tell the person, whatever information we might give them about the doctrine and the teaching of the church from the beginning of Christian faith is only effective if it comes from the mouth of someone who is a Christ bearer, a lover of Christ. We don't have to have the perfection of the saints in order to be able to witness to others. But we have to at least know that God is far greater and beyond ourselves and yet is linked to us in a way that demands that we never break our integrity with him, that we never speak more of ourselves than we do of him, that we never preach ourselves rather than him. In other words, it is only the inwardly transformed that can preach Christ, not by words, but by themselves, and only to whatever degree they have been transformed into humility. Humility is all that is required. After all, we will never have the perfection, the beauty of Christ himself. But it is our knowing in our heart of hearts that it is only by our humility and our love of God that we can share that truth, that beauty that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taken on our humanity, revealed our humanity, and made it possible for us to share what he is through our own humanity. For a saint like Elder Paisios or Elder Emilianos, the message is clear. We can see the revelation of Christ in a saintly and holy man or woman. And the fact that it is possible for a person to be a Christ-bearing person, a holy person. But even then, in the presence of such a person, it is only so clear to us as we ourselves are able to receive. If we love ourselves more than anything else and have no room in our life from God, even being in the presence of a saint will not speak to us of the presence of Christ. We might even avoid them. because they are a threat. After all, they crucified Jesus Christ to be rid of him so that they could be free to be themselves without God. For most of us, imperfectly as we live, the message is that Jesus Christ haunts us, warning us never to lie or pretend to be more than we are. Humility is crucial. Most of us can only reveal that there is far more than our own efforts to be faithful to the incarnate truth, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. There is far more, and yet we are faithful to him. Even as spiritually small as we are, we can testify to the truth by our love of God. We see him, and sometimes we see him clearly, but in how we encounter others, we are only able to show him faintly because we have so much further to go along the path of our life, the path that is our salvation, the path that Jesus Christ has made possible for us to live and to be our life, a life of salvation, a life that cannot be put to an end by the death of the body. A life that is eternal, a life that we have already begun to live. If we do not truly desire God, always fearing him and fearing separateness from him, that's why we avoid sin, in order not to be separated from God. If we have no love for God, then there is no reason not to sin. But if we love God, then we avoid sin in order to keep from cutting ourselves off from him, in order to remain at one with him and his holiness. If we do not live in fear of this separation of ourselves from God by turning aside, then we cannot clearly speak of him by who we are, because who we are will speak of something else. It will speak of our preference for whatever gods we have in our heart, whatever passions we have in our heart. We will distort the image of Christ as we speak of him to others, because our message is ourselves. God's message in Christ is himself, and our message to others is ourselves. And if we lie about the nature of truth by who we are, then we are not witnesses to the reality of the life in Christ that God has made possible. Who we are will be saying something else, something other than Christ. By humility, we can speak beyond whatever shortness of stature we have, because it will be clear that we are still reaching far beyond ourselves in our true and our ultimate love. If we love ourselves more than God, and yet we claim to be Christians and try to witness to Christ, we will fall back on speaking of Christ as we imagine him. And that will always be a Christ that does not threaten our own false sense of who we are. We will be limited by that false sense of ourselves. And if we do that, then we are preaching ourselves and not Christ. Or if we can preach orthodoxy as if it were an entrance into an inner circle of those with the right information, our message becomes reject others, join us. There is here a social substitute for the reality of the church of communion with God. Instead, we preach, this is the inner circle. We have the right teaching. We have the right doctrine. It doesn't reflect badly on the teaching and the doctrine. Those things are true. But we can misuse them to claim that we have a place where we teach right truth and right doctrine. Come join us, become members of our little group. And then we might even resort to the pressure of persuasion, proselytizing, and urging others to accept what we believe is true. What we believe is true, not Christ himself, what we believe is true. The truth of doctrine and teaching can become a defense against humility before God himself. It can be grasped and taken and held as a possession selfishly. It's just the information about God that we believe is true. We're not acting on it by actively loving God. We're not acting on it by living the life that Christ made possible and that we call salvation. Again, we are preaching ourselves and not Christ. But there is a third alternative, the only truly Orthodox Christian alternative. Here we present Christ himself in the Eucharist. Here during the Divine Liturgy, we present Christ himself in the Eucharist. If we desire physical union and communion with God, then we can enter the church. We can be baptized into his life, turn our backs on the world, be receivers of the Holy Spirit by chrismation, prepare ourselves to turn our back to the world and come toward the high place beyond the altar and receive the body and blood of Christ himself into our bodies, have a physical and spiritual communion with him because God became human, became a physical being, gathered this world together into himself, as Adam was meant to do, to gather the stuff of the world together into a Eucharist, a thanksgiving to God, and raise up food of this world to God in order to make the food of this world a communion with God. Instead of doing that, he ate it himself. He ate the fruit of the tree, turned his back on God, brought death into the world. Christ turns that around. In the upper room, he takes the bread and the wine, the food of this world that he has eaten through a sinless life until that time, raises it up to God and returns it to us as communion with him. Through his death and resurrection, he has made communion with God physical, spiritual, possible for every one of us down through the ages. And if we desire that communion, that oneness with God, the Eucharist is here. And also, we present Christ in the lives of the faithful. The lives of the faithful, the most faithful, are the holy men and women of the last more than 2,000 years who reveal the presence of Christ as Christ bearers. And we who are faithful ourselves, even a little bit, if we are moving toward the kingdom of God, if we are haunted by the perfection and the beauty and the holiness and the truth of Christ, and it is our ultimate value, however we may from time to time betray it in the world, by turning again to the world, we turn around again, because our ultimate orientation is to move toward Christ God. That is faithfulness. It is how the holy ones became holy. It is how we are following them in the path of holiness. Even if we only live this life that Christ has made possible for us in part, we are still humble members in the hierarchy of divine human life. The hierarchy of divine human life. Remember, that word hierarchy was created by an Orthodox writer. If you look at this icon with Christ in the center and all of the holy ones gathered around him and think all of the rest, another concentric circle includes all of the rest of us. We are all moving toward the center. Hierarchy means there is a center and all are moving toward the center because we are all created in the image and likeness of God. Our life is about moving toward the center. Even if we are on the outside edge, so long as we are oriented toward him and moving in that direction, we are part of the communion. We add our own humble affirmation during our life by our witness of the fact that ultimately we do not worship ourselves. Ultimately, the meaning of our life is not about selfishness of possessions and reputation and all the rest. By this holiness that we live toward, that we move toward, we call ourselves Christians because this movement toward the center, toward Christ God, in our lives, in reality, is the way of the true Christian. Father Edward Roman says, only the spiritually mature believer is in a position to engage others in a way that presents Christ himself and not just information about the Orthodox Church. This is the path of our communion with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.